Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But at the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, right now we're going to have on the line Pastor Doug Riggs. He's an ordained minister, but he counsels people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. Now, we talk a lot about politics here, and we talk a lot about philosophy, and we talk about health, and we talk about all sorts of things. But one of the most important things is the fact that we are involved in a spiritual battle. And it's not an imaginary spiritual battle. It is a battle against truly demonic forces. For you remember that admonition, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore, put ye on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And we recite that, it sounds really good, but what people don't understand is this battle is not imaginary. It is real, and certainly Doug is on the front lines of this, and he's been counseling these people for many, many years. Doug, how long have you been dealing with people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse?
Let's see, I started at the end of 1984-85, and I was not aware of the fragmentation and the multiple personality disorder part of the whole history of these people until about 1991. So it's going on about 27 years now.
And basically, of course, is this becoming more frequent? In other words, is there more of this than before?
Well, I have no way of knowing. I know that there have been those that have done the demographics. I think Dr. Colin Ross estimated up to, upwards of 10 million. There's really no way to know because it's so secret, Dr. Stan. I mean, it's first of all, the people that are subjected to chronic abuse and trauma-based mind control because of the chronic trauma, the more chronic the trauma in early childhood, the denser the amnesic walls, so the everyday person that lives life doesn't even have any idea what has happened to them until they begin to break down and usually get depressed or begin to have serious problems in life, and then they're diagnosed with the problem. But I think it's probably far worse because you have we have an enemy that that his mindset is that the more innocent the victim, the more power is released when there is abuse and sacrifice. And that's just how our enemy operates. We know from the Old Testament that child sacrifice offers, sacrifices a Moloch. You can find it throughout the Old Testament. This went on in terms of not just the pagan Canaanites, but the children of Israel became worshippers of these false gods. And we know from what Manasseh offered up sacrifices right there in the temple. And we see in the Psalms and Ezekiel 16 where this was going on. So,
well, let me tell you, but I had the opportunity to talk to Father Malachi Martin before he died. He was a Jesuit priest who told me certainly about the feigned human sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican. There was this time to coincide with a real human sacrifice where they were killing a real human being. And these were priests wearing the garb right there in the basement of the Vatican in Rome. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is real, and you're going to find this a fascinating look behind the curtain. Well, go right ahead, Doug. And why don't you tell us, Sydney, Sydney, my understanding is that seeing a lot of people, Sydney, who have been victims of alien abductions.
Well, I've never worked with the alien abduction phenomenon. I know that they kind of cross paths in terms of the way the stories are recounted. I personally believe that the hundreds and thousands, perhaps even millions of those that have been reporting alien abduction, that there is a hybrid breeding program that's been going on since post-World War II. Dr. David Jacobs at Temple University in Pennsylvania has documented this for decades. Secular historian, and there have been others. And so what is being reported as aliens is really not aliens. It's just a reoccurrence of what we have stated in the book of Genesis, Genesis 6, where the watchers of fallen angels cohabited with women and produced a hybrid offspring called Nephilim. And, of course, that is disputed by some biblical scholars. They say that this is the line of Seth, but the Bnei HaElohim and Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, and of course Job chapter 37, they are angels. So what we're seeing today is the final drama that is leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, and the battle is very real. And I would say, Dr. Stan, that the church that in the West is predominantly asleep to this. Not all churches are, and I think there are more are awakening. You know, Russ Dizdar and Lynn Marzulli have been speaking four different times together this year, which I'm grateful. So they are very much involved in trying to wake people up and wake the churches up. But it's pretty much under the radar of most Christians, Dr. Stan, all that's going on.
Well, that's our job, is to try to get the information out. I appreciate your staying up so late at night to inform our audience. But at least our audience, a lot of people in our audience, have some idea of this nature of the spiritual battle. Although it is really so unreal, it seems almost too incredible to accept the fact that there these things could really be going on. There could be a conscious effort to disrupt people's personalities, certainly by satanic ritual abuse, that you could alter people's vision of the world, that anybody would be evil enough to want to hurt a child. And yet, yeah. Unfortunately, this is the reality of what's really going on today. And we're going to be exploring more and more of this as we get into our discussion this evening with Doug Riggs. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Doug is talking about the fact that there is certainly an increasing awareness of what's going on. We have had Lynn Marzulli with us a number of times, and he speaks out on this issue, as well as a couple of other people. There really are people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. There really are child and infant sacrifices. There really is an effort to create dissociative personalities. Dr. Colin Ross has written about this, and we have this in some of our four tape sets, certainly going into the background of this sort of thing. We have a four tape set on certainly Operation Paperclip with my interviews with Dr. Colin Ross, who was actually working with many of these victims of Nazi. These were actually victims of Nazi child abuse, but Nazi child abuse right here in the United States. And the scientists who were brought to the United States by our own government, the Nazi scientists, continuing to carry out their programs. Well, Doug, why don't you talk to us about your work, certainly, and what you've learned over the last 25, 27 years of taking care of these people. Are most of them introduced to this in childhood through different types of child abuse?
The people I work with, Dr. Stan, are multi-generational. In other words, it's been in the family for numerous generations, and so they're born into these families. A number of them are European families, and of course the European mindset of the royalty is their desire is to bring in their Christ through particular confluence of bloodlines, and of course the agenda now has surpassed just bringing in that which is a normal human being. Their goal is to bring in a superhuman. The Germans would refer to it as Übermensch, and of course that was the goal during Nazi Germany, was through eugenics to produce a superman. That which is a transgenic man, and they've actually succeeded that through the help of collaborating with the powers of darkness. It's no different than what took place in Genesis 6. So what is happening now in terms of the work that I'm doing is working with a younger generation of people that are very fragmented. I mean, what I'm witnessing now is very, very complex, and this may be shocking to some of your listeners, Dr. Stan, but the younger generation that are coming to me now that I'm working with, they say that the programmers are not like in the old days, Dr. Josef Mengele and Dr. John Bowlby and people like that. They're actually reporting that that highly demonized hybrids are the ones that are doing the programming. And I'd have to say, Dr. Stan, I believe them, because the complexity of the structuring and the mind control is far more complex than I think the earlier days. So, the enemy is, I think he's pulled out all the stops. I believe he knows his time is short, and he is building an army, and he is doing all that he can to create, to fill in that numerical deficit of one-third of the angels that were fallen. There's two-thirds elect. When the forces of darkness meet with meet against God on the Battle of Armageddon, as we see in Revelation 16 and Revelation 19, they wage war against the Lamb. It says that they wage war, Revelation 19, against God. And so what has the enemy been doing since World War II to create this final army? And so the satanic ritual abuse is just at the highest level. This is his one of his most sophisticated ways to fill in the deficits and to create an army where he, in his mind, he's going to hope to defeat God.
Well, now, basically, are these humanoids? Are these like Nephilim you're speaking of or doing the programming?
This is what's reported, and I think it's important for people to, as bizarre as this sounds, you can look up Dr. David Jacobs and just look at some of his videos, his book, The Threat. Of course, he sees them as possible aliens. I do not believe they're aliens, Dr. Stan. I believe they are fallen angels cohabiting with women, just like we see in Genesis 6, producing a hybrid. The difference is, the hybrids in Genesis 6, they were giant. They were very large. We know we have artifacts of this throughout the world, history and stories of all the cultures that talk about this. But the unique thing about this generation is to create a hybrid that will replace us. In other words, Homo sapien, as we know it, needs to have a new version of humanity, humanity 2.0. A transgenic, an Übermensch of that which is a Superman. In other words, that which will replace who we are in our defective state and create a being that will not die and have supernatural features, both physical and spiritual. And the report is they're here. They're not.
We've heard stories about the military wanted to create super soldiers who actually had supernatural, almost supernatural strength and powers. Is this part and parcel of this, or is that something entirely different?
Well, no, I think it's in various venues. I know the military, of course, right now, Dr. Tom Horn has documented this in Forbidden Gates and Nephilim Stargates 2012. I mean, he's done some excellent work on this. And, the military is gone past the super soldier stage. They are now seeking to create a transgenic human that will be able to go way beyond the normal spectrum of endurance of a normal human being. with telekinetic powers, supernatural abilities, because other nations are also in the game, Dr. Stan. I mean, there's competition. And if, you know, the Pandora's box has been opened. I mean, this is going on. If people have not kept up with this, you can go to Raiders News, not RaidersNews.net, or type in Tom Horn, and just read the postings that he has on his website on a daily basis. And he, you'd be surprised at the number of projects that are currently in the works throughout the world to create a transgenic or a new version of humanity.
Well, the thought crossed my mind. There's really no reason or basis for it, but we see this man go berserk over there in Afghanistan and kill 14 to 16 people, and certainly it's just a heinous act. He should be punished. But what's the first thing the military does? They move him out of Afghanistan as if they were protecting him. Why would they do that? That doesn't make sense unless there's something there that they want to cover up. And it's just conjecture on my part. And let's get back to the work, of course, that you're doing. And, of course, now, are these families you talk about coming from Europe, are these satanic families? I've certainly known one woman who came from a satanic family, and her description, you know, this has gone on for generation after generation. She was one of the few in her family that broke loose from the satanic hold, and because they were all programmed in Satanism. Is this partly what you're talking about?
Yes, the different royal families from Europe. Yes, they do not appear as Satanists in terms of looking strange or wearing strange clothes or anything like that. You would not tell. I mean, they're sophisticated business suits. I mean, we have dealt with the House of Windsor. We've had people that have come out of there. I would just tell you, I'm working with a girl this week. Her father is a doctor. He was actually trained by Dr. Josef Mengele. I'm working with two of his children. They're getting out. The one young girl who is 21 years old that's with us this week, she came to us and worked for a day. She came in the next morning and was speaking in Korean. And of course, the girl that came to see me, she didn't even know that this was in her. And as I worked with her and got into some of the structuring in her, her father had turned her over to Kim Jong-il for there's a lot of money involved. And so part of her, she has a personality that is Korean. Her memory is she's only been with Kim Jong-il. And then, of course, when she would be transported out and back to the United States, there was total amnesia. The girl that came to see me had no idea that she had any Korean-speaking parts or there was a part inside that only had a history of Kim Jong-il. And this is not uncommon. I mean, I work with people that have, they're compartmentalized and structured in terms of their identity, and they're made to fit into various venues according to the oligarchy of plutocrats whose agenda is to bring in a new world order and the Antichrist. They use these people as like reservoirs of power. Because of their fragmentation and demonization, they're used in sexual purposes to transfer power to heads of state. And okay. This is how the power is transferred.
You mentioned Dr. Josef Mengele, of course. He was the Nazi who was experimenting with children, known as the Angel of Death over there in the concentration camps, did horrible things to children. And, of course, we're told he escaped to South America. But I talked to three separate people here in the United States who said that they'd actually met Mengele. And I talked to Colin Ross, and Dr. Ross had said that as well. Have you actually met people who said that they met Mengele when he was brought here to the United States by our government?
Oh, yes. In fact, on my website, I have a number of interviews. I have actually two interviews remembering Dr. Mengele, where I interviewed a number of ladies who have a whole history with him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this story is so incredible, and if I hadn't actually talked to these people, I would say this is madness. Unfortunately, I fear it's true. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, what was Mengele up to here in the United States? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know that he was brought over to help train, at a lower level. This is not the level I'm working with. The CIA operatives, so that those people who have a dissociative history could be brought into the MK Ultra kind of programs. And of course, he had protocols that would help build a Manchurian candidate. He was the pioneer of all this. And in fact, I have an article posted on my website under SRADID that gives a history of Mengele. But he was over here, I think, he was hired because of his skills. He could create Manchurian candidates without the person even knowing that they were a spy. I mean, if a person has a dissociative or abuse history, you can bring them into these projects. But the people I'm working with, he was also over here hired by various members of the royal family to maintain the investment in certain people who were placed in America that are designed to infiltrate the church and, of course, to release a satanic power into the church and, of course, to seduce pastors to come in and infiltrate the nursery and abuse children. I mean, it's horrific, Dr. Stan, and I can't tell you the number of people that have come to me from around the country as we get into their systems where they've actually been assigned to local churches, assigned to go in and bring in spiritual corruption into the body of Christ.
I have no question. There's certainly something about Mengele and twins. For some reason, he seemed to have a fascination with twins. There was some city, some community down in South America where he was, where so many twins. Do you have any idea what the twinning situation was, why Mengele was fascinated with twins?
Well, if people have read, I think it's Robert J. Lifton's The Psychology of Genocide. I forget what it is. The Nazi Doctor's Psychology of Genocide is probably one of the most well-known books. But he did practice and experiment on twins, but it wasn't only on a physiological and biological level. But he also understood that when twins have a unique bond. They have an actual symbiotic bond. And he learned how to do experiments on twins to see what would happen if you would shock or traumatize one twin, if that would affect the other twin. And, of course, it would. And so he developed trauma-based mind control techniques using twins and, of course, developed that further so that members of the royal family who are producing offspring to be agents to infiltrate the government and military and the churches by twinning. There is a telepathic and there is a specific bond so that one person could be going to a ritual, the other person may not be going to the ritual, but the satanic powers could be transferred to the other one by proxy through twinning. This was all, of course, developed by Dr. Josef Mengele, who was not only a doctor, but he was a sorcerer, and he was directly linked, I believe, with the powers of darkness. And I don't believe he had any conscience at all. I do not believe that this man was split. I don't believe he was a multiple. I believe he was 100% and wholly devoted to evil.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment, I guess, because Doug Riggs, he's simply talking about his experience working with people, and so many of them have come here from Europe, many of them have been tied into royal families, and of course they're victims of various types of satanic ritual abuse. He gets into the background of Dr. Mengele, and certainly, I would think anybody who talks about Mengele coming to the United States, of course, well, there seems to be little question that he went to South America. And isn't it interesting that the Jews never tried to track down Dr. Mengele? Why not? Because they had an agreement with high American officials that they, of course, would get the State of Israel, but they would leave the Nazi war criminals alone. Among them, Mengele, of course, he was here in the United States. I personally talked to three people who've encountered him, that Colin Ross I'd talked to, who works down, I believe, in Texas someplace. He told me he talked to three people. Doug has seen several people who were in touch with Mengele when he was brought here to the United States by our own government, one of the most evil, totally evil men who ever lived, Joseph Mengele, the angel of death. But, of course, he was running experiments here. But so many of these people are victims of satanic ritual abuse and associated personalities or dissociated personalities, so that after they've been conditioned, they really don't remember much, do they?
No, that's correct. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Stan, I would encourage people to just listen to the testimony of some of the women. We did a two-part series on remembering Dr. Mengele, and people can listen to those at DougRiggs.org. And it's, you know, one of the people that I just listened to this recently, he didn't know anything about this. He was very humbled by what he heard. And I think it's important for people to say, you know, we can hear programs like this, and we can hear people like me that work with this, and of course they can hear your accounts and with people that report this. But when you actually hear real live witnesses, it's very different. It's very powerful. And so I'm not sure what your question was. You may need to repeat it again so that I can. It's about 1 o'clock here, my time.
Oh, I know it is, and I appreciate so much your being up with us at this terribly terrible
that's okay.
Hour.
No, that's okay. But I bet I may have gotten off. Go ahead.
Basically, of course, these people, they have dissociative personalities. And basically, they have done this. They know how to produce dissociative personalities in the children by trauma-based conditioning. Could you explain to our listeners what this is about and why they would want to harm children?
Yes, that's a good question. I appreciate you getting me back on track. With children, you know, from birth all the way up to about 6 or 7 years of age, the people like Mengele and people who employ trauma-based mind control for a specific agenda, we call it satanic ritual abuse, or we could just refer to it as sadistic ritual abuse. We know it's satanic, but what they do is they have specific protocols to say they could strap a child down to a table, hook them up with various kinds of electrodes, inject them with drugs, flashing lights, subject one half the body to cold, the other half the body with hot, to fill the orifices with electrodes to shock, and then play different music and tapes. And the child's identity does not remain intact. It fragments. And that is they condition the child over and over again as they split and the identity fragments, then spirits, demons, fallen angels are channeled in to the child when they're in that vulnerable state. And so the human beings, the people like Mengele and these Nazi doctors, they utilize the trauma. But during the splitting, the powers of darkness actually come in during the trauma and they structure the internal dissociative system of that person into a multi-layered weapons platform so that various aspects of the personalities can be used for various purposes to bring down churches, to infiltrate government, to infiltrate military. And because of chronic trauma, the more chronic the trauma in early childhood, the more dense the amnesic barriers are. So the upfront presenting person is completely oblivious to the internal structuring that is purposely put in, and they can be cued out both spiritually, demonically, or through various cues to carry out specific assignments that are spiritually driven.
And actually, what Doug is saying, many of them are assigned to churches to go in and create disorders there. They're assigned to nurseries, to work in a church nursery, to abuse the children there. I mean, all sorts of things to disrupt and destroy our society. And you say nothing like that could be going on. Why we'd hear about it every night on the news? No, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? You'd never hear about it to the regular channel. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Doug Riggs, and basically Doug works for these people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. Ken, how long does it take to ever get them over? Do they ever completely recover from this horrible mistreatment they have as a child?
Well, when it comes to the dissociation, the fragmentation, where I am now in working with people, I'm able to see people come to significant resolution in about, for example, 2 to 3 years, which when I first started looking backwards, it took upwards 15 to 20 years. So everyone is unique, and it depends on their own maturity level and their ability to absorb their history and to deal with their past. But it's still hard work, Dr. Stan. But what I'm seeing now is, and I think the Lord has very much enhanced everything because of the lateness of the hour, I'm seeing pretty amazing things happen. But this is not magic. I mean, you don't just lay hands on somebody, anoint him with oil, and make this go away. I mean, trauma represents very severe brokenness, and there has to be a lot of patience, a lot of love, and a lot of investment in helping these people come to not only to be unified in their identity, but to help them come to spiritual maturity, to see the grace and the forgiveness of God for the horrific things that not only that they've been involved with, but all the survivors are conditioned and trained to be perpetrators, and what happened to them, they are conditioned and trained to do to others, so that they're conditioned to believe that they are evil and there's no escape. But I'm seeing people come to freedom, and so it's worth the investment. That's all I can say.
Well, basically, do they, or most of them, eventually come into a personal relationship with our Lord, or any of them nominal Christians before they come to see you?
Well, I've never worked with anyone that was not a Christian. In fact, and this is, I don't know how I could go into this on this particular show, but there's...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Doug Riggs, and certainly we were just talking about, when you're dealing with these people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse, I asked him if eventually they came into a personal relationship with our Lord. Well, of course, Doug said, he had never worked with one of these who was not a Christian. However, of course, they can believe they're a Christian, but down deep within them are these other layers, like an onion, that have been programmed into them by these wicked and evil people. Before we go on, Doug, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get to your website and get your information?
Sure. It's just www, and my name, Doug Riggs, one line, dougriggs.org. Are you still there, Dr. Stan?
I was going to say that when the people come to see you, they are already Christians?
Yes. I, for some reason, you cut out there for a moment. Everyone has been a Christian. And I think, when it comes to understanding the enemy's end-time strategy, prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, the war between Satan and God was carried out between two seeds. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent will be in conflict until the coming of Christ, who is the fulfillment of that seed. Now that Christ has fulfilled his work and paid the price for our sins on the cross and raised from the dead, we know from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and following, that it says that the Lord, that Jesus will see his seed and prolong his days, of course, through resurrection. So it's important to recognize that Jesus has seed. And according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, we who are begotten of God do not habitually practice sin because his seed abides in us, God's seed. So now that seed, that which comes into being at new birth, when anyone puts their faith in Christ, that seed is under an assault. Now, and this is what I have seen for the last 20-plus years, Dr. Stan. These high-level occult families, they draw a child out to a saving knowledge of Christ purposely, so that just as soon as, at the earliest possible level, when a little child can put their faith in Jesus Christ, the scripture's been read to them, this has all been reported to, by everyone I work with, they're drawn to Christ, and as soon as that little one's eyes light up with the glory of God, whatever is evidence that that there's a connection with God, they are assaulted with the most horrific trauma, and I won't even mention the sexual abuse that occurs. And so that new birth identity is sequestered and wrapped in death. It's just wrapped in death. And so that person grows up not even knowing that they've had that God connection. And so when they come to me, they believe they came to Christ later on in life, and when we begin to do the work, we find out that in every single one of them, there was a purposeful protocol for them to come to Christ and then to have that captured. And you say, well, why would the enemy do that? Because that spiritual essence that comes into being at new birth is something that is very, very important to the adversary. He's able to do with a person who is born again, he is able to leech off, siphon off some of that glory, that life, to create a new hybrid. And this hybrid is not detectable. You will not see in society the hybrid that we saw in Genesis 6. It is a perfected entity, and Satan has stolen that which represents something of that new birth essence. And as hard as this may be for people to comprehend, Dr. Stan, I see it daily. And when these people get their essence back through spiritual warfare, through integration, through healing, they have an amazing connection with God. They have a profound, they have a knowledge of God like Job had. And so it's for me, it's a privilege to work with these people, Dr. Stan. Even though they've gone through this horrific experience, many of them, of course, they're demonized. When they get clear and they come together in terms of their identity, they are the most phenomenal believers. I all I can say is, I thank God that He has brought these people to me, as hard as it is, as grievous as it is, because this is where Jesus is suffering, Dr. Stan. He was marred more than any man. And Isaiah 63:9, it says, in all of our afflictions He was afflicted. When we get into the depths of these people's systems where they're suffering, you always find Jesus there, Dr. Stan. He is there suffering with these people.
Now, of course, you mentioned that they condition these people so that they can send them into churches to create discord, so that they can send them into various organizations. And basically, are they being used then to disrupt society? Are they being used to spread false information? Are they being used for political purposes? What are they used for?
Well, women, are used as cult prostitutes. And so the more highly structured they are and the more demonized they are, then through sexual involvement, these powers can be transferred to heads of state. And these people become spiritually enhanced, spiritually empowered, more dynamic because of their spiritual enhancement, by these people being used as sex slaves. So that's the political arena. When it comes to churches, they're usually assigned to leadership. They're assigned to gather around leadership, to come into places of responsibility, so that the spiritual atmosphere is affected. The whole spiritual dynamics of that particular local body, is the enemy's intention to degrade it, and to dumb down spiritually, because the church is the ultimate threat against the adversary, so the church is his primary target.
Well, now, are any of these people affiliated with organizations like the Family or like the Moonies or like some of these other crazy cults that are out there?
Not any of the people that I've worked with. They have, the agenda of the royal family, the people from Europe, is to bring in a Christ that will qualify to rule the world. Their whole agenda is the New World Order and to bring in their Christ.
Well, you mentioned that some of them have been affiliated with the House of Windsor. Now, that, of course, is the royalty of England. Is this very much tied into this whole movement for the one world government?
I've worked with a number of people. You take people like those are the heads, and I've mentioned them in the past. In the royal family, they have a marriage connections with many different people that are in secret. They produce an offspring, and then when that offspring is produced, there's specific protocols to abuse them so they can be loaded up with these ancestral spirits, and then they can be used as cult prostitutes to interface with world leaders. And so what happens, in the ancient culture, why did a person go to a temple to be involved sexually with a cult prostitute? To come into contact with the god of that temple. Spiritual powers are released through what God ordained for marriage. When it's misused and it's brought into an occult context, it releases power. So all of these people that are involved at this particular level, it's on international. It has to do with world leaders. Everyone that I've worked with, Dr. Stan, have reported high-level rituals with the United Nations because this is where the world leaders gather, and this is where the power is to be transferred and consolidated.
In other words, then, they are used to compromise world leaders. Are any of these people in positions of power themselves?
Well, they are on a spiritual level. In other words, when you meet in certain secret cult meetings, then depending on the level of investment and their bloodline, they will have a position of spiritual authority, yes.
Well, basically, are these secret meetings taking place today?
Oh, yes. I give reports all the time. I mean, if it's a G20, then people, if they're still accessible, there will be major rituals that will precede and be going on during a G20 meeting, especially at key times during the United Nations. There are these rituals that are going on. Of course, Jerusalem is a very key center for high-level occult rituals. When I say Jerusalem, I'm talking about Zedekiah's caves underneath the Old City and under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. All the people I've worked with have talked about very, very high-level rituals that have occurred under there. In fact, I have a friend who lives in Cape Town, South Africa, who doesn't even work with the people I'm talking about. She went into the Zedekiah's cave and actually saw these ritual sites underneath the Temple Mount, and it was not where the public can go. She was taken there with a private guide, and she actually saw with her own eyes that which our people have reported in terms of high-level rituals that have occurred in these places. Of course, Jerusalem is biblically a great center of conflict. So it is my view that Satan's throne is actually located there on the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. That's my view.
All right, fine. And so basically, these people, are they still doing human sacrifices or animal sacrifices?
I think the lower level Satanism, that which is more crude and what you would see in some of the gory horror stories, there would be animal sacrifices. What we're talking about at this level, they're all human sacrifices. There are breeders that never are, that's what they're created to do. They can produce these children for human sacrifice, and of course there are thousands abducted every year We don't know what happened to them. I believe that many of these end up being sacrificed.
Well, the average individual, when you tell them this, they're going to say, oh, well, that just couldn't be going on. Well, I've actually talked to at least one person who actually went to our church, who came out of one of these satanic families, and she talked about these human sacrifices, and yet we never hear about this today. This is all poo-pooed and something like you don't really think that sort of thing goes on. But you've actually talked to people who've been involved in this, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've heard it for decades.
And
I would encourage people to just type in end ritual abuse and go to Dr. Ellen Lacter, L-A-C-T-E-R, end ritual abuse, Ellen Lacter. I don't believe she's a professing Christian. Her whole website is loaded with every kind of resource and documentation you can imagine. There's another one called SMART. It's an acronym. SMART. It is an advocacy on ending ritual abuse. Again, a not Christian organization. There are others out there. Survivorship. There are others, but this has been going on for a long time. And of course, when you bring up things like this, well, people say these are confabulated memories. These are false memories. And in the whole false memory syndrome, it never was a syndrome. It was the whole propaganda that was brought to the public attention to squelch all this was financed by the CIA. I mean, the whole false memory syndrome was a front of the CIA to cover up their nefarious activities in terms of what they were doing with the MKUltra. So. We're facing a real battle because there's been so much propaganda to create disbelief in this whole area, Dr. Stan.
Well, as I mentioned earlier for our listeners, Malachi Martin personally told me about the human sacrifice. It was time to coincide with a feigned human sacrifice held in the basement of the Vatican. Where does the CIA fit into this? And they're not part of the royal family, so
no.
Where do they fit in?
They're actually on a lower level with the people I work with. They're just there to do. They're going to try to have create spies and espionage at the most effective level. So that's a different area. So I don't necessarily see the connection with the CIA and the Vatican. I will say this. In my work with survivors, every one of them have talked about major rituals occurring in the basement of the Vatican. I never heard of Malachi Martin, but I've actually worked with people who said that they've been involved with rituals at the Vatican in where there's been human sacrifices. And so this has gone on for years. And the point is, these people don't have an agenda. They're not like anti-Catholic or anything. Here's the point. I think his name is Dr. Randy Noblet. If someone types in his name, Dr. Randy Noblet, he's not a professing Christian, N-O-B-L-I-T-T. Look at some of his books. He's done a whole history from the beginning of civilization of human sacrifice, and here's what his conclusion was, that from the beginning of history all the way up to the present, it's never stopped. He says the onus upon the historian is to prove, when did human sacrifice ever stop? It never has.
Well, you know, I would hate to be involved in this and not know the Lord, because otherwise, if you are a humanist or atheist researcher and you run into this, it's just so incredible. I mean, I'm sure you must have come in touch with other researchers who were not Christians, and I would think that some of them would go frankly crazy.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of pressure. Whenever you go into this particular area of the enemy's camp, Dr. Stan, you kind of think about it it's like Navy SEALs. They go into areas that the rest of the military doesn't go into. So, yeah, there are great challenges there, but if we know our authority in Christ, the authority of the believer, the authority of the intercessor by John, I think, McCallum, I forgot his last name, but the point is, If we know our authority in Christ and we exercise that authority and we walk close to the Lord and depend upon Him, He has provided for a victory and our protection.
Well, because that's the only protection we really have. Certainly, I have a series of three books, Occult Conspiracy, Occult Underground. I've forgotten the third one, written by a secular writer, researcher at Cambridge. When he got all done, he committed suicide. There was no hope for him. Well, we have hope. Well, Doug, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the message you'd like to get out to our listeners tonight.
I would just say that, the prophecy in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be with the return of the Son of Man. You go back to Genesis 6, and, with on my website, you can see some of the references there. But it's happening again. There is a hybrid breeding program. There is a satanic agenda to create a final end-time army to wage war against God and the Battle of Armageddon. And God is looking for Christians whose heart is complete towards Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong. That is, to strengthen the one whose heart is complete, whole, towards the Lord. So this is the time we need to get right with the Lord. We need to clean up our lives in terms of, if we're involved with any form of immorality, internet porn, any kind of relationships that are dishonoring the Lord, or if our lifestyle is such that we are not walking in close fellowship with the Lord, the time is running short, and we need to get ready, because there's going to be a global crisis in the context of the Lord's coming for His church. And as Christians, we need to be ready. God has made full provision for us to be triumphant and to be overcomers, but we have to be walking in fellowship with the Lord and in community and with other believers who love the Lord.
Well, Chris, it's the old adage we keep stressing over and over again, that this is really a spiritual battle. It's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield, but it's really a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And until people understand that this is not imaginary, it's real, there really are supernatural forces here working in our society, why none of this makes sense. Once you recognize there is a supernatural element, there is certainly a supernatural reality, then it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, talks about the prince of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's a reality. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the world rulers of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are real entities. They are behind governments. They are behind individuals. They are behind world leaders. They don't know it, but they can become almost like a puppet in that they carry out the agenda.
Hold that thought here, please. Well, Doug, it's just saying that what is going on is real. These people are working behind the scenes. Many of our world leaders are under their control. They may know, they may not know that they're being manipulated, but they are. Powerful spiritual forces directing the course of the world towards this one ultimate goal, and that is the one world government. And do these people coming out from the satanic ritual abuse talk to you about the one world government and the plan for the world government?
Absolutely. They're insiders. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8, and Ezekiel got an inside view of what was going on right in the temple of God, and that was opened up to him. And these people are like what we see in Ezekiel 8. They have come out of some of the most secret cabals that represent heads of the New World Order. I've worked with people who sat in on the planning stages of the Kennedy assassination. It was a cult killing. This goes way back, but I could talk, a lot on that. Yes, I mean, these people have come out of that culture, who their whole agenda is to bring in their Christ. and to create a new world order. And they believe that this is the best thing that could happen to the world.
Well,
they believe they're right.
We'll be talking tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, your time. God bless you, Doug. Thanks very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you listen to what Doug Riggs has to say. He's on the front lines of this battle, has been for something like 27 years.